It is time once again for another edition of the At Your Service podcast here on the Branson Podcast Network. Well, it's been kind of a strange couple of weeks. By the way, I am Scott McCauley, but on vacation, and because of some changing schedules, we were off a little bit as far as getting podcasts recorded, but this is actually our second one this week. We had the Stone County Community Health Coalition in earlier this week to do a podcast about some upcoming events with the Fordland Clinic, and you check that out next week. And we're recording this on January 23rd. Well, I wish we were recording on January 23rd because it would not be nearly as warm as it is right now on June 23rd. But here's we're recording on June 23rd. Before the end of the month, we're actually getting together with the Taney County Health Department and talking about a topic that we've talked about on this program before, and that is ticks. And those ticks have been out and about for sure this year. But we have a lot of that coming up. But on this edition of our podcast, kind of getting back into the swing of things with our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation, which we call the Conservation Report. And delivering this week's report is one of the Taney County agents, Chris Boyd. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Glad you can get in. Chris is here. We're doing this in the morning on the 23rd. So for his superiors, we were having technical problems, and this podcast did not wrap up till 7 in the evening. Is that what we agreed
yeah,
on?
Yeah.
Just so you know, don't have to be in the heat.
Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, you have a lot of coworkers around here that we know better than that because I've done that with them too, so
yeah,
they all
exactly.
Know the tricks. Yeah, seriously though, it is starting to heat up out there, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, you and I talked about this. I've been working, you know, the course this year we're working on the waterways a lot more, and it is extremely hot out there. And when you can't just jump in the water with a bathing suit because you have to wear a full uniform, it makes it extremely hot. So with that being said, be careful out there, because you know, if you mix alcohol and heat, you get, you know, dehydrated very quickly. So it can really get to you very quickly.
Yeah, and that would also go for anglers too, because I know a lot of times if you're out there recreational boating, you're going to be in swimsuits or probably in a lot less clothes than you would be if you're an angler, maybe even if you're wading, but even if you're on a boat. So, you know, you really got to be careful about that.
Yeah, and you know, and the wading has been phenomenal right now, just because they're not generating as much water on Taney Como. But when you're wearing those waders, your lower half is in the water, but that upper half is not. And so it can, you might feel kind of like you're getting cool, but your upper part of your body is not. So yeah, just be mindful of the heat. It's going to get even hotter as we move into July and August. So just be mindful of that if you're going outdoors, for sure.
Absolutely. And again, we've also done some programs with not only the health departments, but area health officials about heat tips. Keep that in mind. Make sure to stay hydrated. If we do really get warm later in the year, you know, really look at those yard activities. And, you know, of course, mowing the yard is my favorite thing to do. And I apologize, but my nose is starting to grow. But it's not bad, but it's just, it's, you know, not one of the great things. But, you know, when this time of year, if you do have to do some yard work, maybe you got to look at early or late to do that and to avoid the heat of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And same with fishing. If you can get out, and to be honest with you, the fishing has been phenomenal early in the morning and late in the evening. And late in the evening hasn't really been that bad. We've had a breeze, and they're actually generating more water on Taney Como, and that helps out on Table Rock if you're fishing either one of those lakes. So I would encourage people to do the exact same thing.
So we might as well just segue into that. You say fishing at times has been good. So what have you been hearing out there?
So Table Rock has been very frustrating. I think they haven't been generating as much because we haven't had the rainfall. So it's very difficult to find good spots and find the fish. You know, when I'm out working, we have a pretty good sonar system and stuff with our depth finder and our other fishing stuff. But we also have side sonar on our boat, and I'm not seeing the fish. I'm seeing the brush piles where they're normally at. Right now, Table Rock Lake is sitting at 916. Water temperatures anywhere between 78 and 80. But it's, you know, typically you see them when the water temperature starts warming up, they start going down deeper in those holes. A lot of holes around Table Rock Lake off of like gravel points and stuff. And usually you can find them in 40 feet of water. And if you can't find them, at least you're finding bait fish and stuff like that. And it's just hard to find those pockets of large fish. So that tells me that they're moving around quite a bit, going maybe even deeper water, which would be extremely difficult to fish, maybe in the main channel. But right now, evenings is a good time to fish. It seems like they're generating more water, and when they're generating water, it's kicking up and kind of getting the current moving a little bit more and getting fish more active. So late evenings, it seems like they're off the long flat points. Drop shot around brush piles seems to be working for bass a little bit more on Table Rock. And then vertical bluffs, which they're probably going to be fishermen like, no, you don't fish around vertical bluffs. But that's where I've been checking people fishing and actually catching stuff. So I haven't had a chance to fish those vertical bluffs. And I know there's going to be anglers like, you know, that's a sin. You don't fish that drop shot where the vertical bluffs are. But if you can find a down tree in the water, if you got a live scope or some type of fish finder and you can find some debris around those big bluffs around Table Rock, that's where they're at right now. And that's where I've been seeing a lot more fish being caught.
Well, as we're recording this again, our buddy and colleague here, Josh Grisham, has been involved many years with the powerboat races, and that's going to be happening on Lake Taneycomo this weekend. So obviously there are going to be some areas, especially around the landing, that you probably want to avoid. But for other sections of Lake Taneycomo, you kind of talked about this already. What are they finding there?
Yeah, right below the dam, if you're able to wade fish out there, I mean, you can literally walk from one side of the bank to the other side of the bank on Taneycomo right now because the water's so low. They're right there in the middle of the channel. So if you can wade out there into a little bit deeper water, there seem like they're biting off of like a San Juan worm. It seems like a white or like a pink color seems to be hitting a lot more. And then, of course, crankbait has been working very well in the evenings and at night. Like I said, because they're not generating water during the day, and they're doing it more in the evenings and nighttime. So, but the middle channel, if you can get a boat from about Fall Creek down, it seems like that's kind of where that major bend is. That seems like where there are a lot more fish in that channel. And again, it's because the water temperature on the surface is hotter than it mm-hmm. is in the middle. So that's where the trout need that cool water. But it's still really good. I mean, trout fishing, it really doesn't affect because Taneycomo is still pulling that water from the bottom of Table Rock. So the water temperature is sitting at 65 to all the way down to 55 some at times. So the water's nice and cool. And then Bull Shoals, kind of the same report as Table Rock. It's been a little bit tough, but brush piles, deep shot, and then crappie jig and crankbait seem to be working really well. Early on this month, I think it's been a month since I've been on the program, but walleye was really hitting. I really think we had a later spawn than we have in the past, and it seems like we haven't had a consistent walleye spawn for, gosh, probably 5 years now, but if you get that early June walleye spawn, that's good reporting for fall fishing, especially. Mm-hmm. So walleye seems to be around the brush piles and on a crappie jig, but it's good to hear that we're almost back to kind of a normal thing because Bull Shoals the last couple, gosh, last 3 years has been flooded at this time. So I think it's nice and it gives some of those dock owners and marinas a little bit of a break and able to actually enjoy the lake. And because Bull Shoals, you and I have talked about this, to me, Bull Shoals is the hidden gem of probably the entire Ozark area. So,
yeah, Karen and I, my wife, we had a chance to go over that way. We were going to Forsyth this weekend and drove over the 76 bridge there by Shadow Rock Park. And it's like, it has been a while since I've seen that campground over there or the boat launch completely uncovered over there. But that's how high the water's been over there.
Yeah, usually you drive by that bridge and all you see is the tops yep. of the pavilions.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's nice for that area, Shadow Rock Park and some of those other – because that's phenomenal fishing all the way up into I forgot what the name of that creek is right there. But all the creeks have been phenomenal fishing. All the mouths of the creeks have been phenomenal fishing. So whether it's Beaver Creek or Swan Creek is the name of that creek, the creeks have been phenomenal fishing as well.
Yeah, and we are almost getting to the point now there at Swan Creek where it was so dry 1 year that you could literally walk across and not, you know, and then it went the other way that you would take three steps out and you would be almost under because it was so deep. Now it's kind of in between almost the median there. So.
Yeah.
That's good, but it's good because that does give more folks a chance to get out. And if we could get the, you know, temperatures under control, that certainly would help for sure. So fishing up and down, but still some possibilities out there. Of course, we'll always say be careful about doing that. Chris, what else is on your mind today?
Well, I've been checking a lot of people talking about the heat. We get people enjoying those creeks and going to those swimming holes, seeing a lot of trash. So I would encourage people to make sure you're picking up all your trash. We always have a saying, if you leave a place better than you found it. That kind of means if you see some trash, just take a few seconds, pick it up. We're trying to enjoy all this for everybody. And if we get a big rain where we start getting those floodwaters, all that trash is going to go back into the water, and then that can hurt the fish population. That can hurt the ecosystem. So just be mindful. The other thing I'll tell you is be mindful of putting out your fires. The other day I came up to a creek, nobody around, and the fire was still going, probably about 15 feet from a tree line. So as we warm up and we get drier and drier, just make sure you put your campfire out. It takes 2 seconds to put some dirt on it, stir it around, pour some water on it. If you see smoke, it means your fire is not out yet, so keep stirring it around until you don't see smoke.
Well, and keep in mind, there are a lot of these areas you can go to that probably have trash cans that you can, you know, take the few extra steps to do that. If it doesn't, just make sure you have those supplies and get that taken care of, because it is, I mean, you go to a place, I mean, you would kind of like to have it in good shape when you arrive there.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's for everybody to enjoy, so just make sure. And I would also encourage you, if you are going to bring glass bottles of any kind, please pick them up. The last thing we want is a little kid or somebody to cut their foot on it. So just be mindful of that kind of stuff.
So as far as the seasons are concerned, we're really talking a lot about fishing and stuff, but there's always some other seasons going on, isn't there?
Yeah. So we kind of talk off like the opening day of hunting season, September 1 with dove season. And then that kind of kicks off fall hunting season. Of course we have, right now we have predator season. So you can hunt coyotes, you can hunt squirrels, that kind of stuff. But all you need for those things is a small game hunting permit. But right now, fishing, and the big thing is bow fishing has really picked up too. So guys are out there bow fishing at night, and we've kind of in a law as far as hunting goes. But like I said, September 1 kind of kicks off the season. With that being said, don't wait to get your hunter education certified certificate until like the day of firearm deer season, because those classes fill up pretty quick. So, and you can do it online now. So it's easier, more accessible. So if you go to mdc.mo and then type in hunting, you can actually sign up for any courses in the area and find those. But yeah, just don't wait till the very last minute to buy your permits or to get your hunter education certification.
You know, this would probably, and again, because it is, there are hunting seasons. Of course, there's still stuff going on, as you mentioned, those things. A lot of folks are fishing, but it might be a good time to remind folks that there are plenty of areas to go to that enjoy the outdoors and trails that have nothing to do with hunting or fishing. But if you just want to enjoy some time in the outdoors, we certainly got a lot of selections around here.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have state parks and Mark Twain National Forest and Core property, and of course MDC property. If you go to Missouri Department of Conservation area, we have all sorts of trails. And right now, one of my family's favorite trails is around Lake Tanicomo. So if you can actually go onto a trailhead, whether you're on the Shepherd Hills Hatchery side or if you go on the other side where the lookout is and you drive down there, it's completely covered. You get that cool breeze from Lake Tanicomo. And then, of course, Branson has several of their own hiking trails. I will say this, we are getting more phone calls about black bear. We have a huge population of black bears here in Taney County, Stone County, the southern part of the state. And if you are going to be camping, make sure you do not bring any food whatsoever, even a granola bar, inside the tent. Hang your food up in a tree. Do not leave food in a car. And just be mindful that we are in bear country. I know a lot of people still don't quite get that, but we've had some reports of people walking on trails and coming across a bear. So if you see a bear, be loud, say, "Hey, bear," scream at him, put your hands up in the air, and he should go away.
Yeah, we mentioned on one of the other podcasts that the Missouri Department of Conservation has asked me if I see a bear not to sing to it, because they would be afraid it would be, you know, we don't want to endanger the species. And in fact, usually humans, when they hear me sing, run the other way too. So we don't want to endanger them, but kind of make a little noise. I shared the story. I saw a bear cub out at Stockstill a few years ago and did exactly kind of, I was walking into an area that was going to be isolated. I go, "Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to just not do that." Not that I was really felt scared or anything, but just in case, you know, you didn't want to get, you know, caught back there, because there was only one way in and out. So I did that, you know, made a little noise as I did that, and everything was cool, but it was really neat. But the fact of the matter is, I know we've said this a lot of times, but there's a chance, if you're a person that likes to walk around the outdoors, there's probably a pretty good chance you've been a lot closer to bear than you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest thing about bears is if it's a male bear, most of the time they're just going to ignore you, run off. But if it's a mama bear with her cubs, she feels like she's cornered because she has her cubs. So she might charge at you. And if their hair starts standing up or they drop their head, you know, those are all signs that they're upset. And so just be mindful that bear spray works the best. In fact, they say that works better than firearms just because they're tough critters. But just make sure that you're mindful of that. Don't want to scare anybody off, but just be mindful of it, that when you're walking around in the trails that you are in bear country. And if you're camping, you're in bear country. So if that bear smells that food from miles away, so if you have food in that tent, he's going to come inside that tent.
So if we had, that's what was it? I think Quentin and I had a conversation one day about what are bears have in common with us? We're just looking for the next good meal.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And I think
exactly
that's really what it is, isn't it?
And we've been lucky. You know, last year, I think I talked about this, but we were in a major drought and we didn't have the blackberries. I mean, they were terrible. I mean, they shrunk up. And I'm a big blackberry guy, and I've seen blackberries actually almost turning black now. And so that's a good sign, because we've had some of that rain. So bears love easy food sources. So berries are one of them. So if we have more berry population and good production this year, we'll be okay. But when we start getting into that drought, they go outside of that perimeter and they will start scavenging for trash cans, your house, anything that they can get to chicken coops with your chicken food inside the chicken coop. So they can smell that and they will get into it.
So how are we doing as far as, and I haven't, you know, I try to kind of browse a little bit on the website and other sites as well. I know we've got the population increasing, but how about the actual sightings that we've been having? I know we had some in Springfield here a few weeks ago, but really any major areas where we're seeing more bear sightings?
So we've had, I think, 3 in the Branson area just in the last probably 3 months, I'm thinking. And then we had 1 in Forsyth, and then we've had, all the way out to Cedar Creek area, we've had probably 4 or 5 out that way. And then, of course, we've actually had 2 hit on Highway 65 in the last 3 months. So that's a big channel for them. It seems like every year we get 1 or 2 hit on 65. We haven't had any what I would call nuisance bears that continually go into a subdivision and knock down trash cans or do damage to houses or chicken coops or anything like that. Those numbers have been down pretty low, but we have had some people walk out at night and seen a bear in their backyard.
You know, one thing and it's interesting because for many years we were just talking upstairs in the office. I'm the veteran here now. I've been here for 33 years continuously, you know, so we were talking about some times, and I just was thinking about this the other day because we used to do these announcements, but it'd be a good time to mention this, that if you are driving around, you know, you obviously have larger wildlife, bears, you know, deer, you know, might even see some other wildlife. But tell you what, this is the time of year you see littler wildlife crossing the roads, including turtles.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a few times this year. Unfortunately, I did see one that got run over, but those are ones that you got to keep an eye out for, too.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see turtles, this is their time. And then skunks as well. This is also their time, that their mating season. So be mindful of the little guys as well. Foxes as well. I've seen so many foxes lately. So just be mindful of that. Don't try to hit the ditch trying to miss them. I mean, it is what it is. Just don't hurt yourself. But they are out and about, moving around a lot more.
Yeah, and this has been probably 5 or 6 years ago now, but we were traveling in Arkansas, and this is the only time I saw it, but I actually saw a box turtle down there, and of course, box turtles are a little bit more aggressive than the regular turtles. Now, we were driving, so it was just, we just ran around it and went on our way, but it's like, I'd never seen one of those before, and I go, wow, that was very interesting, but it just, and it wasn't that far across the border in northern Arkansas, probably just south of Harrison.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of a variety of wildlife here, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And kind of on that same thing, I've been getting several phone calls about people finding baby deer. And most of the time, and I know it sounds crazy that they see it at 6 in the morning and 6 at night, the mom still hasn't come back. That's actually perfectly normal. As we're talking about the drought, as we're talking about the heat, that mom is trying to gain water weight and survive, and she will come back to that baby at night. So she's using a ton of energy just to find food sources and get that water weight on so she can produce milk for the baby. So be mindful. Give it 24 hours or more. Mom put that baby deer in your yard because it's a safe place for it to be. So we're getting lots of phone calls about that. Please just leave them alone. Don't pick them up. Don't put them in your car and take them home. If you move them from that area, you're basically kidnapping that baby, because mom's going to come right back to that spot looking for her. And if she doesn't find it, she's going to assume that a predator got it. So.
And that's one of the really best ways to segue into always maybe having that information about knowing who to call, because your agent or someone at the Missouri Department of Conservation can answer those questions, because people will have those questions. And I think, that's the type of thing you want. You want people to call you and ask those questions so you're aware of what's going on.
Yeah, we have several offices in Southwest Missouri, including conservation agents, that our numbers are always listed. You can Google whatever county you're in, conservation agent, and we're the first ones to pop up. We'll be happy to answer text messages and phone calls about that. But most of the time, we're going to tell you, hey, leave it alone. Let's give it 24 hours. Because there's no rehabbers. And the other thing is, we were talking about ticks earlier. Those baby deer are covered in ticks. I've seen them with their eyes completely. It looks terrible, but it's completely natural. They have the capability that those ticks will eventually drop. Mama will take care of them. And so I know it looks terrible and looks awful, but that's part of nature.
Do you think there's a way they could give us that secret? Because I'd like to have an easy way to drop those ticks. I was sharing with, as I mentioned in our opening, we're doing a feature with the Taney County Health Department here soon about ticks. And I was sharing when we were setting that up that I started picking ticks off
a lot earlier
this year. In fact, I think the first time I mowed the yard, which was back maybe late March, as soon as I got in, I had picked off one or two ticks right there.
Those sea ticks, too. They're so small, you don't realize it until a couple of days after they bit you. So. Yeah, be mindful of that, where, you know, get spray on and stuff like that. But the wildlife are not immune to the ticks, too. They love wildlife, and especially baby deer that are just sitting there. So they will cover up deer faces and stuff like that. But just be mindful, there's no rehabber or doctor place that we can take them to. With chronic wasting disease, EHD, all the other type of disease that white-tailed deer can get, there's just not a veterinarian that's going to touch them. There's not any place that we can store them, or rehab place or wildlife sanctuary that we can take them to. So just be mindful, let nature take its course, and let mama do what she does.
I know it's tempting, but that's one of the things that makes this area so great to live, is we have an ecosystem that has so many different species of wildlife in it. And it's one of the things I think we kind of forget about sometimes, but it really is one of the things that makes the Lakes region special.
Yeah, it is. And we talked about it 1,000 times. The vast part of the state of Missouri is so unique. I mean, you go up to Northwest Missouri, you're in the plains area, the grassy plains. You go to Southeast, you're kind of into the swampy areas. And here in Southwest, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful parts of the Ozarks. And we have so many areas to explore, to go to fish, to hike, to camp. So we just kind of have it all down here.
Yeah. And we will say before we wrap up that we do want to note that the people on this podcast are not biased to Southwest Missouri, says the Springfield native to the Bolivar native. So, we try to speak the truth on the podcast. And that's
exactly.
Just how that works.
Just the truth.
Anything else we need to hit before we wrap up?
No, just numbers. So we kind of mentioned Monday through Friday, if you do have a general conservation question, your question can be answered by calling the Southwest Regional Office at 417-895-6880. And again, that's the Southwest Regional Office if you Google it. And like always, if you see a violation out there that looks like a wildlife violation, that somebody might be fishing illegally or hunting illegally, you can contact our Operation Game Thief hotline. It's available 24/7 at 1-800-392-1111.
All right, Chris, was always great pleasure catching up with you. To all of your agents and everyone out there, be careful, but appreciate all the good work you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right, thanks.
You betcha. Chris Boyd from the Missouri Department of Conservation delivering this week's Conservation Report. And that does wrap up this edition of the Conservation Report, part of the At Your Service podcast. And again, not only with At Your Service, as we're getting our conversations with both the Taney and Stone County Health Departments back up and running, but we visit with the Conservation Department weekly, and plus we've got a lot of other great shows on the Branson Podcast Network. Check it out. I'm Scott McCauley. We'll talk to you again soon.